Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Scott, you're not a smoker. Never have been.
Nope.
Never would be. Probably. Can't imagine any
situation. Not that I can see, no.
Can't imagine you sitting there with a cigarette in your hand. I was too busy doing other things. We have got some numbers here, which a lot of people are interpreting. And sometimes there's no cause and effect to numbers. That's what we are trying to figure out now in terms of revenues to state lottery and maybe the number of people who are visiting restaurants or bars. And want to bring in Judy Stewart, Director of State Government Relations, the Campaign for Smoke-Free Air. Hello, Judy. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
In terms of lottery ticket sales, is there any correlation in your mind between that and smoke-free workplaces?
Absolutely not. I mean, I think it's way too early to tell that. If you look at lottery revenues over the last 10 years, once they peaked in 2007, there's been a steady decline since then, to say that there's been an effect in the last 4 months since the smoke-free law took effect on their revenues, I think it's a little unfair.
If you're going to say that the ban on smoking in workplaces has caused lottery ticket sales to decline over the past 4 months, what caused it to decline over the previous 3 years?
I mean, I would guess, you know, the poor economy. I don't have the answer to that exactly, but my point is it had already been on the decline, and you can't say that because it's still declining that the smoke-free law had anything to do with it. There's not a direct connection there.
Judy, how long would be long enough to make a fair assessment on the effects of smoke-free workplaces?
I mean, that's a great question. I don't know that I have the answer to that, but I just think it's too early to tell what sort of impact the law has had on, you know, any sort of revenue in the state. Like I said, it's only been about 4 months.
Well, we are hearing quite a debate today in the national news about how much you can blame on the Obama administration, and he's been in office 19 months. Some people are saying you can blame everything on him. Some people are saying you can't blame much on him. But in terms of 4 months, that doesn't seem to be a particularly long time frame for anything to kick in.
Mm-mm. I mean, we completely agree.
All right. In terms of the impact of this on health, on a lot of other aspects that were crucial to having this legislation enacted, has anything changed?
I mean, it's too early to tell that as well. I mean, we've seen studies come out from other states that have smoke-free laws, and really you need at least a year for the law to be in effect to show any sort of health impact. You know, the studies we've seen in other states have shown that just a year after going into effect, they saw 40% decline in their admissions to the emergency room for heart attacks. You know, we've had similar projections that we'll see those kinds of numbers in Michigan, but we won't really know until May next year.
Judy Stewart, Director of State Government Relations for the American Cancer Society. I think I mixed up her introduction at the beginning, and also a spokesperson for the campaign for smoke-free air. And in terms of cancer ramifications and secondhand smoke, what does the latest research show?
I mean, the evidence is clear. The science is clear. Just as a Surgeon General put out in his report in 2006 that secondhand smoke kills, and the only way to protect people from it is to create smoke-free environments indoors. And that's exactly what our state has done, and we hope to see the health impacts in our states that other states have seen as well.
Any idea on how long it might be before we would see some improvement here? Is this something that's going to take a long, long time to be measurable?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, you can see some of the immediate, you know, things like a heart attack rates. We could probably look at those in about a year, but things like cancer and that, I mean, those are going to take many years to see what sort of impact the law has had on that, because it's not an immediate that somebody, you know, contracts cancer. It's something they develop over time.
Once again, numbers can be misleading. What about anecdotal evidence? Have you had a lot of people say, thank you, I am so happy to be working in a place now where I don't have to deal with this? Or have you had people say, I don't know what you thought you were trying to accomplish now, but I'm just not going out anymore?
Oh, yeah, the support from our end has been overwhelming. I mean, there may have been a few people in the beginning that weren't happy that the law passed, but overwhelming, we've had people come out of the woodwork thanking us for the work that we did to help get this law passed. People are going out, and they're going out more often. They're staying out longer.
All right. The correlation with the lottery numbers and what the Michigan Restaurant Association is claiming here, why are these charges being made?
You know, I don't know, but I can say that we're not very surprised. I mean, these were people who opposed the law passing in the first place, so it's not very surprising that they would, you know, come out with this unscientific evidence to show their side of the story.
What about other states now? Michigan was, I believe, the 37th or 38th state?
Michigan was the 38th state to go smoke-free.
38th state, okay.
Yeah, and Wisconsin went smoke-free shortly after we did. So, I mean, this is not something that is new in our country, and we're glad that we finally joined the movement.
Can you take comfort in the fact that states that have had this smoke-free workplace legislation much longer than Michigan have had numbers you're looking for?
Yeah, California was the first state to go smoke-free, and they have some initial health data to show that they've seen improvements in their health care costs and overall health rates within their state. Other states haven't had the laws quite as long, but we hope to see some other states come out with data in the near future as well.
What about the idea that small businesses need all the help they can get and no additional government interference, and even if it interferes with 5 to 10% of businesses, it could cause some of them to go under?
I mean, we stand behind our research. We did our homework ahead of time and looked at studies that had been done in other places that have smoke-free laws, and in every case, business either stayed the same or it increased. You know, anecdotally, that's what we're seeing here in Michigan as well. You know, I've talked to a lot of business owners personally myself, and, you know, this hasn't been a hard transition for most people.
All right. In terms of the American Cancer Society's position, is there anything more damaging to the American health scene than cigarette smoking?
I mean, no. I mean, it's one of the leading cancer killers. So, in our opinion, this was one of the best things that our legislators could have done for our state.
All right. Well, we appreciate your time. And we are going to be talking with Andy Deloney. We're going to get a conflicting point of view here in just a moment. So we appreciate you joining us. Judy Stewart from the Campaign for Smoke-Free Air, Director of State Government Relations for the American Cancer Society. We'll be right back with more Ebling and You on 1320 WILS.